the Draft Doctors Podcast for all of your fantasy AFL information. Now here's your hosts, John Crockett and Steve Fizz.
G'day everybody and welcome to episode 8 of the Draft Doctors. My name's John Crockett and with me, Steve Fizz. Steve, welcome mate.
Hello listeners.
We've got a jam-packed show for you today. We've got Fantasy Fallers, a bit of a fantasy face-off, as well as an interview with James Fitzgerald from Moneyball.com.au later on.
I look forward to taking you down in the fantasy face-off. My old guys are going to come out on top.
I've got the young guns, the up-and-comers, they're going to get you. But in a little bit of news, we've got Supercoach opened up on the weekend. Some few changes there, which you can all check out now. And Fantasy opens on the 2nd of February.
We're recording Monday, so this will be out yesterday. Time was like Back to the Future.
Also, Boomer Harvey trying to become a chainsaw juggler when he retires to join the circus, almost chopping off his leg. Boomer, pay someone to do that, mate.
Yeah, honestly, really, Jesus.
And old Ruffy, I think he's got married on the weekend, and the wife just said, "No more football. Just that's it. Take half the year off. We'll go have our honeymoon." So already under the thumb there, I think this. Old PCL.
She's an attractive lady.
I haven't actually seen her.
I'd miss football for her.
Oh, okay. Well, he's an ugly bastard, so anything can be attractive for him.
Throwing a bit of shade on the Ruffy.
We love you, Ruffy. So, Steve, have we got a bit of a review this week?
We've got an iTunes review from a listener, Spud Scollops.
Awesome name.
Says they're getting with the times. It's about damn time draft-based fantasy leapfrogs the out-of-date salary cap games in Oz. This podcast is informative, fresh, fun, and most importantly, the one fantasy podcast that's relevant to 2016.
Well, thank you,
Spud Scholes.
Thank you very much, Spud Scholes. That's awesome. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can check us out at Twitter, at The Draft Doctors, or head over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDraftDoctors, or drop us an email there. thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
Yeah, or leave a review like Spud Scollops did, and we're happy to read them out on the air.
Yeah, absolutely, and Steve's been hitting the Twitter hard and always responds to any questions or queries you have. And
if you want to throw some shade at Paul Ruse on the Twitter, I'm more than happy to back you up as well.
Weren't you at the Melbourne training there, Steve?
Yeah, I was. It was hilarious. I was sitting direct. I just took a seat, and it turns out, I look up, and there is that just... We hate Paul Ruse. And I was sitting directly under Paul Ruse. And Paul Ruse was hating on his own team.
How was their defense going from what you told me?
Well, it was interesting. This is the way I went down there. So I went down Friday morning and it was just pouring rain. The weather was terrible and the weather wasn't the worst thing I was watching.
One Jack Watts, maybe?
Yeah, Jack Watts didn't do himself any favors. But I'll tell you what, I loved Maxie Gawn.
Big Max Gawn,
Looked great. Love Nathan Jones. Looks a cut above everyone else.
Looks another, the good I've got over the injury from last year.
Oh, man, he looks good and clean in the wet. Like, it was really bad, but he was clean. And another guy I actually liked was Harms. He was actually playing pretty well.
Harms? Yeah. Wayne Harms, kid or what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
he looked pretty good as well in the wet.
Is he a rookie or a mature age rookie?
No, he played. He was drafted. Last year was his first year.
Okay.
Also, Jack Trengove was doing a lot of sprints and goal kicking.
Oh,
he looked okay.
So he's moved on from the People We Wouldn't Touch episode.
Oh, man, I think he's a great pick in salary cap. Mm-hmm. And if you're a fan of... Like, if it's the salary cap guys, Clayton Oliver was doing a lot of goal kicking as well.
There you go. All right, moving on.
Petraka was only walking laps.
Yeah, he's probably still getting over that broken toe, isn't he?
Playing basketball.
Christian, no. You're a professional footballer now. All right, we're going to kick off our fantasy face-off. Bit of old, bit of new. In the defense, got Cade Collard-Jasny versus my boy Cade versus old man Bartell. Collard-Jasny, man, ranked 6 in total rebounds. Total rebound 50s with 99. He ranked 20th in total kicks at 320, with 320. And there was only one other person who missed the finals that was in that list, and that was Brett Stanton. So all the other 18 players...
Wait. So you're putting him in Brett Stanton's company, and that's good?
For kicks. Total kicks. That's get that thing right. He also ranked 6 for total rebounds per game, averaging 4.5. Entering his third year... in football this year, He averaged 89.4 in Supercoach and 84 in Fantasy. He's got great running skills. Rocketeer's looking to put him up on the wing, get more possession, but he takes a great intercept mark. He knows how to find it. And the one thing, he's young.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a bit of shade on old Cade here because my man Jimmy Bartel is the man. How can you? I don't know how anyone could choose Cade over Jimmy Bartel. He's just a fantasy beast. He does it every year. Last year, apparently, he had a terrible year.
Because he was old and breaking down.
Well, he had 11 games, but he still averaged pretty damn good, if not better than College Asney. 87 in Supercoach, 89 in Dream Team. So, and that includes a game where he scored like 8.
Yeah, well, College Asney was playing key defense for the first 4 rounds until Rocket realized what he had.
Jimmy Bartel is dual position. I like that. That gives him a little bump. Not much, but a little bump.
Yep.
He's got a higher ceiling and he's got a higher floor.
And a higher price tag in your salary cap games.
Well, we're not playing salary cap. We're a draft game. He's injury free. He's burning up the track.
Just like all 800 other AFL players.
Look, I buy into Bartel's history. He had, like you said, he had an injury last year, had the knee injury. He also got concussed in the first match. And
he's
we know
concussed every year.
No, but look, he's a gun. Like, without the injury game, these are his averages. 97, 96.
That's better than KK's.
Yeah, it is. But I look at the midfielders. People throw on shade. He's going to play defense. I think he plays forward mid.
He plays everywhere, I think.
He plays where they need him because he's so good. He's a contested machine. We know he tackles well. We know he marks extremely well for a smaller midfielder.
Yep.
I just think he does everything better. College Asney, to me, if... I don't think the volume's there, and certainly the contested possessions aren't there. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but I'm picking Bartel over College Asney every draft I'm in.
Every draft?
Yep.
Okay. I can see it, but I still like my boy KK. He's up and coming, injury free.
If a lot of people are like that. They have things where they're trying to project the up and comers. A lot of guys like the history. Personally, I love the history of Bartel. He's a Brownlow medalist, man.
And Coleman. And 3-time premiership player or 2-time premiership player.
Coleman?
Norm Smith. He could be a Coleman if he wanted to be.
That's your next challenge, Jimmy. Win a Coleman.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy, if you're going to play forward, seriously, I'll get on some of that Coleman odds.
Yeah, what are you, about 1,000-1 now? All right. I think Steve's going to take the victory on this one.
I think I took the victory on the last one.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. This is a bit of an interesting one due to the Essendon bombshell that happened a couple of weeks ago.
I think this one's going to be a split decision.
I think I might win on points. Brendan Goddard versus Robbie Gray. Brendan Goddard, a little bit down on his averages. He's in the mid-90s this year, but he's averaged 102 and 100 in fantasy before. He was ranked 18th in total handballs for the year with 303, 18th in total disposals, 19th handballs per game with 14, and 12th for total effective disposal with 445. Now, if last year he's averaging 97, 95 with Watson and Heppel, they're gone. They're out. He's the number one guy, I think. So I can see that average going back up.
Okay, so he averaged 26 possessions a game last year. Why does he get more? Because Watson and Heppel are out.
Yeah.
How's he going to get more than 26?
Because he's going to yell at his teammates and say, if you don't give me the ball, I'm going to tell the coach to drop you.
But okay, this is my problem with Brendan Goddard in terms of... Look,
fantasy-wise, he'll be a top 10.
In AFL fantasy?
Yes.
Why? Why is he top 10?
Because he's a gun.
I know he's good, but he's not... I don't think he's top 10. Like, I'll give you an ultimate because he's got the dual position. That's fine. True. I've got no problem with that. You can have him top 10. That's fine. Raw numbers... Goddard's slightly better than Gray in Dream Team.
Yes.
But in Supercoach, Gray's 10 points better.
He is.
Goddard, you know Goddard's contested on possession splits? They're pretty bad.
I know. That's what, hence why I have failed to mention them.
Well, this is a receiving player.
I'm trying to win.
This is a receiving player. Why does he all of a sudden, there's no guns feeding him the ball?
Well, if you've got a gun, Ruckman, and if Leuenberger hits the park.
How's he a gun? How's Leuenberger a gun?
He's done it twice before.
But he's like, there's so many questions over Leuenberger. You've got these gun players, Watson, Heppel. Stan's a good player. As much as we rag him in fantasy, he's still solid. Heath Hocking, I know he missed a lot of last year, but he's still been good at extracting the ball inside. I don't see why Goddard all of a sudden starts becoming this contested magnet. I think it's really hard for him, to be honest. Like, look at his tackle numbers. His tackle average is bad. They're like 3 a game, 3.5. Those are bad numbers. If he has to play inside...
Is he playing for Essendon or while he's playing for Essendon?
This is basically over his career.
His career. Well, he has played defence.
Yeah, I know, and his marks are better, but he's not going to be playing defence.
Oh, no, God, no.
So he's been... If he could boost his tackles to 5 points a game, five tackles a game, then fine, he wins Dream Team. But I don't think he gets anywhere near Robbie Gray and Supercoach.
Supercoach, probably not, no.
Well, I think Gray's the safer pick. I can see Goddard getting suspended this year.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Just losing his mind. And
look at him. Look, you saw how many times Heppel had to calm him down last year. That's Heppel.
I think we see a change, Goddard. Just, I don't know if it's just a media beat up and he's playing the Essendon line as captain.
He'll toe the company line for about 4 weeks, and then there'll be 10 goals down against like Gold Coast, and it'll just be Brennan Goddard explosion time or something like. I don't know who they're playing around five, but that's
might be the Anzac game.
I can just see it. Gray's gone to another level. In Supercoach, he's so much better.
Supercoach, yes. Fantasy and
this is a terrible. This is a guy in like. Going to be one of the worst teams we've seen.
Carlton.
Essendon. No, I think they'll be... Oh, come on, man.
I don't think Essendon will be that bad.
I think they're going to be pretty bad.
They need to recruit some key defenders.
But, I mean, like, I think Port are going to be a little bit better, especially with this Ryder thing.
True. A little bit, but not...
A little bit less top-heavy.
True. Well, they've still got Schultz.
I'll give you the split on that
split
one.
Decision?
Split.
Oh, we can go all day about this. Moving on, we got two up-and-comers in the mid-forward category. We got Zach Merritt and Toby Green from the GWS. You got Zach Merritt entering his third year in football, which is very surprising. The way he's been playing, it looks like he's a six-year veteran. Average 88 in Supercoach, 90 in fantasy. Tunning up
great numbers.
Tunned up 5 times in fantasy, 2 in Supercoach.
Yeah.
He did miss the last 5 games with a foot stress fracture, but he seems to be over them. And I think now with the Kaz case and all the players out, he gets more time in the mid. His tackles were good, so he could be that extractor.
Yeah, his tackles were fantastic.
Yeah, I can see it all going up for him. Just the question on the tank, but as a young bloke, he could still park forward and kick a few more than 4 goals last year, Zach, please.
I don't know. This is the thing. I actually like Zach Merritt, so I'm not... this isn't hating. I just think Green's better. I think Zach Merritt... I think Green bounces back is my big point.
Yeah.
We've seen it from Green. He's averaged 103 in both games in 2014. In his first season, was this his fifth? This is his fifth season. So in his first season, he averaged like 97 in both forms.
That's impressive.
These are fantastic numbers. When this guy actually...
Was that as a forward mid or just...
Just mid. So when this guy gets to play midfield, he's a monster. You know, Adam Treloar goes. We know it opens up an inside midfield spot. I don't think it's these guys like your Josh Kelly's, Whitfield's.
Jack Steele's.
Well, Jack Steele is inside, but these, you know, Josh Kelly and that, they're very outside.
Yeah.
Coniglio is probably the one that could pinch it.
But they're not going to wreck that pretty face of his.
But the guy, like, look at who their forward line is. Like, they've got Stevie Johnson, Devin Smith, Reece Palmer, who played well as a small forward.
Certainly did, yeah.
Let's be honest.
Because he can't kick infield to save his life.
So why does Green play forward? I don't think he doesn't play. He might come off the bench. He had two sub-affected games last year. My thing about Zach is he isn't actually an inside mid. Like, his tackle numbers are great, but he's not really a contested ball winner, right?
But is that from previous years that he hasn't had the contested, or is it just from last year?
What do you mean, like, the previous years? He's only had 2 years.
I thought he was 3 or 4 years in.
This is Zach's third season.
Toby's.
Toby's fifth. No, Toby's got the contested. I'm saying Zach Merritt doesn't have the contested balls.
No.
You know what I mean? We talk about these guys who sort of rely on these outside ball.
Yeah.
Well, Essendon's inside ball winners are gone. This is why they need guys like Ryan Crowley. But Ryan Crowley ain't Joe Watson.
No.
He ain't Dyson Heppel.
Well, I can see Zach Merritt taking that role, the contested ball winner. He's still a big boy.
I think I look for Zach Merritt to stay about what he's doing this year. And then next year, I reckon he'll really jump. Like, I like him. I think he's a really good player. I think just Toby Green's in a better team. He's like, this is the other thing that I love about what we've seen in Toby Green, and he's one of my preseason risers. All the media that we've seen out of GWS's preseason is that he's midfielder. All their stuff. He's doing all the midfield training. When they put him up on screen to do an interview, it says Toby Green, midfielder. That's just dynamite to me. Like,
so we just got to hope he doesn't come back down to Caulfield and...
Yeah. No, seriously, stay away from Caulfield. But, you know, he kept it together last year. There wasn't any problems. He didn't spit on anyone.
Cause a fight.
Didn't punch up people at a pub. He's got a... You know, if Mumford stays fit, he's got good people around him. More Supercoach tons last year than Zach Merritt.
Yep.
So, despite the lower average, I think once he gets into the midfield, those numbers bounce back.
You think he'll get Treloar-esque?
No. He's not as good as Treloar. But he could go 100. Not a problem. In both games.
Yeah.
It's not like his disposal's fantastic, so I think both numbers will be pretty similar.
Yeah. But they have been in both forms of the game anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I mean, you know, look... I don't have a problem with Zach Merritt. It's just
horses for courses.
Pretty much. If you think he takes a giant bump from
88 and 90,
the Essendon saga, then okay, fine.
Not so much as from an 88 in Supercoach to 102 forward, mid forward, but 95, hey, as a mid forward, I'd take that if he's parked in the forward line.
Yeah, but see, I think Green can go to 100, no worries.
Yeah, and yeah. As your forward, that'd be awesome.
Which would be huge. Absolutely. He might not, but that's why he's not in my top 10.
No. All right, the next one. Going to be an interesting one. We got David Zaharakis from Essendon and the old tagger Mavuala from St Kilda.
This is going to be an easy win, man.
I'm giving Steve a little bit of something. I mean, he needs it.
I've got... What do you mean? I'm like ahead. Maybe. All right, I got Zaka on this one. Zach has done it before, man. I think this guy's probably the guy who takes the bump from the Essendon saga, aside from Matt Lobey.
Yeah.
He's done it before. Like, he's averaged well before. He's no more than a late round flyer in your drafts anyway.
True.
He had a pretty bad average last year. His best is like...
He was injured last year.
Always seems to be injured. This is the problem. Oh, but
maybe he should have got on the juice like the rest of the players.
But apparently he's injury free now and burning up the track. This is the thing. To get back to his best, he's done it before, so he needs to get like a 20-point jump. Weller needs a 20-point jump on the best he's ever done before.
That's true.
Like,
hey, you can't help it if he's playing the tagger role. Like, you play the tagger role at St Kilda, he averaged 71 Supercoach, 75 in fantasy. He got 3 tons as a tagger last year in fantasy.
Yeah.
Signed a 3-year contract in the leadership group. He's getting off the chain this year. He's a mid forward. He's got the DPP.
Yeah, which we just researched. Found
out. Stupid computer not working.
Yeah, look, that does give him a huge bump. I will admit it. But Zach has gone 96 in fantasy.
That's huge.
So, you know, those are some pretty great numbers.
Yeah. No, I see Matt. Well, he's an elite runner. Just got to get Richo. Make him stop tagging. Let him play football and give it to Luke Dunstan or someone like
that. But I mean, but this is the thing. Like, they've got so many guys who are ball players. Like, you know, you got Jack Stephen, Armitage, Montagna. Like you said.
Yeah, but how much time is Montagna?
Such an ageist.
Right. Wait till the fall is.
Yeah, but they need to win. There's guys who have to play their role. If you're in the leadership group, man, it's...
But isn't St Kilda going to be looking for young player improvement and winning games and Montagna?
What, you think they're just going to start tagging Montagna now?
No. But they're going to give the younger guys more of an opportunity in that midfield where Montagna, just kick back in the forward line. You're old.
No, I don't. I pray like hell, they don't. I like
Montagna. Otherwise, you see Montagna's average is dropping.
No, I don't see it at all. I really don't think so. Man, if anything, Nunes goes into the midfield.
But he's a beanpole. Mavuala is solid.
Yeah.
Stop Sam Mitchell.
Well, look, you know.
Nathan Fyfe. Do it. Well, that's who he stopped in the tag in last year.
So, this is keeping in the same role. He's doing good at it.
No, get off the chain. Get the ball.
Ruzy approves Mavuala tagging.
Was Richo underneath?
Who? Richo. I'm going to go down to Saints training next week.
Yeah, I've got some things to say to them. Well, I'm going to call that
that I won.
Slight win to Steve. Two.
It was only because you screwed up with KK. It was pretty hard, though. I mean, these are all... We sort of chose guys who you could all choose over one another. They're in the same sort of range.
Yeah, they're not going to... You can. Yeah, exactly right there.
Yeah.
They're fine. Like, if you don't like Gray, go Goddard. If you don't like Goddard, go Gray, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, we felt they were pretty similar picks, and hopefully if you were having a hard time in your draft, my awesome information won you over to the right side.
And I've got Matt Weller as a little sleeper for me, so I'm hoping. I'm going to get him no matter what, because no one's going to pick him up.
No, they won't.
No, they won't. All right, we're going to now move on to our risers and fallers, just who we think is going to break out of the box a little bit.
Well, this is what we've seen over the preseason. We know there's some guys who have had injuries troubles. There's guys who are burning up the track. Who we really feel are rising and falling. And what a surprise, Jono took the fallers because he loves hating on people.
Hey, I've even got Bulldogs players in here, so...
Whoa! Whoa! If there was an alarm button here that I could set, I'd mark this day down on the calendar. Jono threw some hate on Bulldogs players. Well, who's your first one, Jono?
First one, who's my faller? Mitch Wallace, Western Bulldogs.
That seemed pretty obvious, but still, I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Like, look, he had his best averaging year last year, 98 in Supercoach, 90 in Fantasy, with Libba there. Not there, sorry.
He had a good season.
He had a great season. Yeah. His best. Like, before that, he was averaging 73 with Libba in the side. So, when Libba was on the side, he was playing the tag role, which has gone to Pickett and Boyd before. I've got no idea where he's playing. Is he playing the tag role?
Well, he said he's playing forward. They're training him in the forwards.
Well, there you go.
In the preseason.
He's going to be playing that defensive forward a la Liam Pickett and Luke Dalhouse in previous years. So, goodbye fantasy scores.
The problem with Wallace is he looks too much like Napoleon Dynamite for me.
Yeah, he might just break out with a bit of Jamiroquai.
but yeah, no, he's a good forward.
Like, he can kick goals, but I just don't see him kicking big bangers to get that average up.
Where did you see people? I mean, we didn't have him in our top 50s.
He wasn't even
50s.
In my top 40, 50 midfielders.
Top 50 mids.
Yeah, he wasn't in there.
No.
What?
I mean, he was probably going to go undrafted, I would imagine.
Oh, people, the average whore, which is someone who just picks based on averages, will see that 98 and they're going to pick him up probably way too early.
If you're picking him up, it's too early.
Well, if you get him as a bench player, you wait and see, and then you can just pull him. But
it's a lottery ticket, I guess. But
big lottery ticket. Like, not about Mitch Wallace, a great player, just not fantasy-wise.
Okay.
Who have you got for your first riser?
My first riser is someone we just talked about. It's Mr. Toby Green. Like we said, all the reports out of GWS are that he's all mid, training's a mid, listing the profiles that way, despite, you know, fantasy football being listed as a mid forward. We know we love those forwards who can really average around that 95 or higher. Treloar's gone, we know. He's averaged 96 in his first season, 103 two seasons ago. It's his fifth season. Often players really tend to break out in their third and then their fifth season. So I'm looking for Toby Green to do better. His tackle numbers have traditionally been pretty poor despite being a big ball winner. If he's playing inside mid, he's going to have to tackle more. Not sure he's a top 10 forward, Jono, but I think he's a top 20, and he's got the potential to be a top 10 forward.
So he's averaged 103 before.
Yeah, if you average 103, you're going to be one of the top four forwards.
Easily.
Right, but so we know he's got the potential to do it, but just with the emergence of other guys like Coniglio and
Shiel and all that.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's sort of holding me back. Maybe Toby Green comes off the bench.
Yep.
We don't really know, but I'm pretty prepared to take the gamble on him and his potential.
Well, if he's averaged, 95 last year, was it 95 last year? He's averaged?
No, it was 82 in
82.
Supercoach and 80 la in Dream Team.
Yeah.
85.
Okay, 85. Well, that's still pretty good for a mid or forward, but if he can get that up to 100.
Well, this is the thing. You're going to be where I think he'll go in drafts is around the area where a lot of the key forwards go. And we know we want the ball winning half forwards or guys who move mid rather than the key forwards because key forwards are just so up and down.
That's right.
So we'd rather the ball winning players who are listed in the forwards. And I think Toby Green has that potential, and you're going to get a value on him. It may not pan out, but I think his floor's high enough that it's not going to kill you, even if it doesn't.
Certainly. All right, moving on for my next faller. I might get a bit of hate on this. One of the oldest blokes going around, Corey Enright for Geelong. Entering his 12th season.
It's hard to hate Corey Enright.
It is hard. He's 34 years old.
But he can fall. I don't know, issue with that.
But I was looking at his stats. Since day dot, he's averaged over 90 in Supercoach. It's ridiculous.
Mate, there's no doubt he's one of the best backmen
ever
we've seen.
Yeah. He's like Nick Riewoldt, straight into the game, bang, just killing fantasy wise. They're changing the bit of the guard at the Cats now. You can see Cam Guthrie go down back, playing the Kelly role.
Jimmy Thurlow.
You got Jake Colajasny coming through.
Jed Buse. I actually like Jed Buse, but I don't see him in many top 22s.
When I hear Jed Buse, it's more, I feel like Jed from the Beverly Hillbillies just. Just the name.
You don't think, hey, you don't think Western Bulldogs superstar Jed Adcock?
No. former Brisbane Lion. There's got to be a drop off at some point. 34 years old, he's still been doing it, but I just think this is the year he finally hits the wall and that output gets down. But I mean,
well, it's interesting. We were just talking before about how he's got the milestone game potentially coming up, where he breaks the Cats game records. So it sort of made me feel a little bit more easy about picking Enright.
Yeah.
Like he needs like 18 or 19, something like that, to get to the Cats game record.
Yeah.
I don't think they're the sort of team who's going to hold that away from him.
This is Crystal Prescott, one of the, who don't really care about milestones.
Yeah, but I think Corey Enright's such a legend down there that he might just, like if he's fit, he plays. It's not like they're going to
still
in
the best 22 quite easily.
Yeah. He's a gun.
Oh, it certainly is, but yeah, I just see it coming this year.
Well, I saw it happening last year as well. And
yeah, that's true.
Absolute bumper.
And still average 97. Thanks, Corey.
Yeah, so.
Who have you got next, Steve?
My next one. Look, I really tried to shy away from choosing guys who benefited from the Essendon thing.
Yep.
But it's Matt Lobe in the ruck. So it seems like
it's the worst kept secret.
It's a bit of low hanging fruit here, Jono.
Oh, don't worry, I've got a couple as well.
Yeah, purely because Ryder's out of the team. We know he had a great season 2 years ago. Seen it, like I see a lot of salary cap people are seeing him as a value for their second ruck instead of going to set and forgets.
Yep.
Which I'm not 100% sold on, to be honest. I'm not sure. You know, he gets back to those numbers that he had 2 years ago, but I put him into the 7 to 12 range for rucks now, whereas before I had him outside my top 15.
Yeah, he was outside my top 15 as well.
So there's a bit of speculation I think around Matt Lobe and what he can get back to, because you know we haven't seen the best of him with the ruck rule changed.
No, we haven't.
So there's a little bit of doubt in my mind about Matt Lobe, but obviously he gets a huge bump because he just gets
sole ruck.
He's playing all game.
Yep. And we might get some more posts on Facebook with these interesting thoughts.
Oh man, I love that. I love that page. That's almost as good as Sneans. Have you seen Sneans?
I see your share of
it. Oh man, I love Sneans. Sneans is the best.
Anything else on Lobe?
Look, I just think it's a pretty easy, yeah, like I said, it's a piece of low hanging fruit. I think he has to take a 20-point bump at the worst.
Easily.
So, who you got falling?
Falling, keeping with the Ruckman trend, Ivan Marić, the mullet
from
Richmond.
I like it,
Yeah, entering season 11, he looked cooked last year. He was dead, he's buried. Sean Hampson, he's not much of a help. He hasn't had much support over the years in the ruck department. He's been doing it all on his own. If Steve would hurry up and get a beer.
We can keep talking.
I can keep talking. Yeah. Ivan's done it all on his own over the years, and I just think he's down and out for the count. He's done. Sean Hampson ain't going, taking over the role, and I don't even know who else they've got as a backup ruckman at Richmond.
Well, actually, they're talking about that Marić won't be doing it all on his own. They're going to be giving a bit of Sean Hampson love.
But didn't he break his leg?
I don't know. But this is what I've heard in the preseason, is they're going to give Sean Hampson a bit more time.
So they're just going to...
That just terrifies me. I'm really on board with this Marić.
I looked at his scores. His scores about four years ago, 103 average, 99.
He had a great
97.
Year. His first year at Richmond, he was like 113, super coach.
But then it's each year just dropped and dropped. And now he's 95 last year.
The ceiling's lower. It's with Ivan than ever before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't give him much love. I think he's... Look, I really like watching him play because when he plays well, he inspires the team.
Oh, yeah, he's huge for the team. He's like he does with Shane Mumford, but...
Did a great job cleaning up the locker rooms we saw on footage last year.
That's true. But yeah, look, see, I had him 15 in my ruck rankings, but...
Now he's not considering.
I'm just can't consider him at all.
Fair enough. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. So my next riser is a man I got to watch in the flesh last Friday. And I love him because he's a nude nut. Big Nathan Jones from Melbourne. No one's talking about Nathan Jones. This is hilarious to me.
Is anyone even talking about Melbourne other than Petracca and Hogan?
It's crazy, man. Man, I love Nathan Jones. These guys, I think, especially if you're playing salary cap, but for draft, they're going to be sliders. No one's talking about him. He had a massive drop last year. 17 points in Supercoach, 14 points in Dream Team on his averages from the year before. We know he got injured in round two.
Pretty much a broken neck.
Okay. So he had a game as well where he scored 18 Dream Team, -6 Supercoach.
What, this last year?
This last year.
Oh, wow.
So his averages are really skewed from this injury game. We know he played all year hurt.
Imagine if someone rolled the dice as captain on that. Oops.
Oops. Oh, I remember... Sorry, getting off track. Yeah. It happened... I remember one year with Andrew McLeod, they captained him and he scored a -3, so they got -6.
Oops.
Back when Andrew McLeod was a gun.
Yeah.
So anyway, 2 years ago, Nathan Jones, 100 in Dream Team, 108 in Supercoach. Fantastic numbers. Never misses. Even last year with a busted neck, still played 22 games. Like, this guy's a machine. 8 of the last 9 seasons, 21 or more games. That's just fantasy gold.
Awesome.
To me, at the training, he looked fantastic. He was clean. His ball skills are better than everyone.
Well, he's the best player by far.
By far. What's this say? Tackles are low, actually, for Nathan Jones. One thing he doesn't do well. So he's a little bit capped in Dream Team.
Yep.
But I just think he's such a value, man. Everyone's talking about these injured guys like they're automatic, like Rockcliffe, Ablett, O'Meara, and Prestia blah, blah, and blah. Nathan Jones, man. Nathan Jones. Come on.
Love Nathan
He's
Jones.
He's cheaper than Coniglio. Who are you going to choose?
I'm going Nathan Jones. I like Coniglio, but Nathan Jones all the way.
Yeah, come on. So I think he's a great value.
Considering I've never had Nathan Jones in any form of fantasy game ever.
I don't think I have either, but yeah. God damn, this year I'm on
look
it.
At it. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, another faller for me. Might be a bit of a surprise for some people. Adam Treloar, Collingwood.
I'm not surprised because I've been pumping this... This is my ship.
He's coming off a postseason surgery with a sneaky groin that he didn't bother to tell GWS or anyone about, so got that done. I see him taking a bit of a point hit because he won't be the number one midfielder on the team. Collingwood are always going to go to Pendlebury and Swan first to give the ball. He's going to have to work hard for possessions. And a bit of an interesting one while doing the research, players who move to a new club, their first year is generally...
The gun players who move clubs often take a step back.
Yeah. Just have a look. Ryan Griffin, Heath Shaw, Dane Beams. All these blokes took a hit in their fantasy scores in the first year they moved to a new club.
The second year they get going again.
Yeah, like Ryan Griffin, like Heath Shaw went from 95 to 112.
Yeah.
Or something ridiculous like that. Ryan Griffin was 92, 3, whatever.
Yeah.
When he's averaged 100 plus.
Yeah.
105 plus. So big, big question mark. Average 106 in Supercoach and fantasy. I can see that taking a hit. 106 and 104 in both formats.
Yeah, he's gone over 100 both last two seasons in both forms.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I see a bit of a hit.
I can see that going to a 99, 100 even.
Yep.
Yep.
On board with that. And my last riser, I was pretty tempted to put Taylor Adams because I don't feel like I've given enough Taylor Adams love. But I'll give you a hint,
so what
people.
About the private messages we get?
I hate Taylor Adams, guys. I hate watching him play. He plays for my team. I can't stand it.
But dude, right. He's a big riser this year, I reckon.
All right. Anyway, my last riser is Ryan Griffin. Like we were just talking about, actually, Treloar, that's a great lead-in. Nice segue. We didn't plan that even. He's lost weight, which can only be a good thing.
He's a bush hunter. He likes to go hunting pigs in his spare time.
Yeah, so he's lost 5 or 6 kilos, allegedly. I think he's a very explosive runner in the past. It was his worst fantasy season since 2009. He was tagged, he was injured, he was overweight, he was forced to play back. And we know that because his tackles were down and his marks were up.
And he was still probably crying because the Western Bulldogs were on their way to finals and GWS weren't.
Is there some salt in your mouth there, John? Because you seem a bit salty.
A little bit.
Look, at his best, we know he's a star, all right? He's more Supercoach relevant than Dream Team.
For sure.
This is an interesting thing. He's had a pretty bad year with the lower averages, but he still had 8 SC tons and 4 Dream Team tons.
Still pretty good.
But just the difference is the floor was so low with him. Yeah. Like, the good was great, but the bad was real bad. We know he's an introverted sort of guy, so I feel like that new club first year thing, Blues really played a part with Ryan Griffin.
Certainly
I think
did.
Now he's more established, much like Heath Shaw. He'll be more ingrained in the system or with the
more
guys.
More involved.
And, yeah, more of it. Yep. You know, so I got no problems with that. And this is an interesting little stat nugget. Last year was the first time his kick to handball ratio was in favor of handballs.
It's surprising.
Yeah, so yeah. Just an interesting little stat nugget and why his Dream Team scores suffered so dramatically. I think once we see Ryan Griffin kicking the ball, getting some penetration down in the forward line, we see a bit more confidence and, you know, the Dream Team and Supercoach scores will come back up with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And obviously, quick little faller, two fallers really. Jared Ruffin, as we know, is going
good call, Joe.
Get that real low-hanging fruit, the good stuff. Jared Ruffin, as we know, is going in for the PCL reconstruction and missing half the season. Another one is his teammate.
Jack Gunston.
Jack Gunston, he's going to take a hit, being the sole focus, I would
think. Oh, it was interesting because I thought, people are going, Jack Gunston's going to suck. And I'm like, I'll look into the numbers thinking maybe that's actually a fallacy. And no, it's not. When Ruffin's not there, he's way worse.
Well, he's only a medium-sized forward anyway. If he gets one of those gorilla defenders...
Yeah, I just thought it seemed strange. I'm like, Jack Gunston's a gun. He'll find a way in the good team. But no, his scores really did take a hit.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately... Because I was really into Jack Gunston this year.
Yeah, I think we both had him top 10 in our forwards. But
yeah,
definitely be sliding. All right, we are now going to move on to our interview with James Fitzgerald from
Moneyball.com.au.
Moneyball.com.au.
You'll hear one of Jono's great interview questions of all time during the interview. If you can pick it out, tweet us and we'll send you some love.
Just you're gonna hear it. Just I'll cop it.
And you'll cop it. But also, guys, look, this is the first interview we've done. I hope you enjoy it. I'll be honest. This is all on me. I do all the editing and audio and all that, and I'm not, John Williams or anything like that.
We are complete novices when it comes to
editing. There was a little bit of an issue with, Jono's microphone.
It sounds like
being
I'm
off.
Asking the questions from the front of the house. So.
Yeah, so
bear with us. Please listen to the interview. Get some information on daily fantasy sports. I know I certainly did in the interview, so enjoy.
So it's a bit of DFS from moneyball.com.au.
So we're here with James Fitzgerald from Moneyball Australia. James, welcome to the Draft Doctors. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. It's good to be here.
Very good. Also, congratulations on being our very first guest as well.
Oh, wow, what an honour. It's fantastic. Hopefully I don't stuff it up.
Oh, that's all right. I think we've stuffed it up a few times along the way, but all good.
I think stuff-ups are the best form of listening entertainment, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I guess the first question off the bat is, what actually is Moneyball and how did you guys start?
Yeah, cool. So Moneyball, or moneyball.com.au is where you'll find us, it's a daily fantasy sports platform. So what that means is for anyone familiar with Dream Team or Supercoach who have been playing those formats, which we love, by the way, over the course of the season for many, many years, the scenario where you pick your ultimate fantasy team at the start of the season and then you manage that team throughout the course of the season. So what daily fantasy is a variation on that where let's say you've got Friday night, you've got two games happening typically on a Friday night, so you've got four teams. So you pick your team for that day based off from those four teams. So you pick a selection of nine players on Moneyball from those four teams using the same format of a salary cap and salary-weighted players. So similar in a way, but over the course of one day only. Our users will come in, they'll find a contest that suits them. So they might see a contest that costs $2 to enter, or they might see a contest that costs $200 to enter. It's entirely up to them what they want to go with. They choose their price point. They select their team of nine players, which takes around 2 to 5 minutes. And then when the bounce off at 7:30 in the evening, it's underway. You can tune in and watch the live view on Moneyball and see how your players are performing, see how the guys that you're up against in that contest are performing. And then at the end of the day, or at the end of the last game in that set of fixtures, we basically settle the scores, and whoever selected the best performing set of nine players, they win the cash. So that's really what Daily Fantasy is all about.
Oh, excellent, excellent. And when you said you got the salary cap, how do you actually go about pricing the players for the salary cap?
Yeah, so it's a combination of their season performance to date and their last three games as a form guide. So if you've got, for example, a bunch of rookies who are coming through at Essendon this year, for example, they'll be good pickups. You'll be picking them up at about 3,500 or so. So we have a $60,000 salary cap to pick your team from. So, a bunch of young guys who are rookies, or a bunch of guys that had pretty poor years last year, they'll be coming in around that $3,000, $4,000 mark. Whereas you guys like Pendlebury or Rockcliffe, who are outstanding performers year on year, they're going to be up around that sort of $10,000 or $11,000. So really, if you're picking a Tom Rockcliffe, then you're not really going to be able to pick too many other superstars because you won't fit within that salary cap. So different strategies for different people. Some guys will pick an outstanding player, they'll pick a Scott Pendlebury, and then they'll be forced to pick a bunch of young up-and-coming guys, whereas other players or other users will select a bunch of guys who are somewhere in the middle, like around your $5,000, $6,000 mark as an average. So different strategies in terms of how people are playing the game. We offer contests where we have the top 15% of finishers. They finish in the money on a tiered basis. So if you finish first, for example, in a $10,000 contest, you'll get $2,000 to $3,000, and that'll go flow through a number of tiers to the top 15%. But then if you're more risk adverse, we offer what's called a double up. So let's say there's 20 guys enter into a contest around about the top 45%. So let's call it 9 in that instance. 9 out of the 20 will double their money of what the entry fee was. So different ways to play depending on the type of contest you're playing. Using that example of double ups, you might pick a team that was, full of average price guys, that $5,000 to $6,000 mark. Whereas if you were looking to win the $10,000 contest, you need to be a bit clever. You need to go, rightio, I reckon this week Jack Stephen's going to be the guy in this game. He's a star and he's at a good price. And I reckon these other guys who are up and comers are undervalued at the moment. So I'm going to pick them, and I think that combination is going to see me right.
So there are a lot of different ways to play the game. They all require different strategies. Obviously, you're taking a bit of a risk. How does the Moneyball differ to your traditional gambling? I mean, what are punters going to get out of the Moneyball?
Yeah, so we are we're nothing like a traditional sports betting platform. So you'd all be familiar with those yourselves, where I log on to, let's say, Sportsbet, and I pick a result on a game. So I might say, yep, the Swans priced at, let's say, $1.90 to beat Brisbane Lions. I'll put $100 on that, and hopefully I get 190 out of the end of that. So we're nothing like that. That scenario there is you versus the bookmaker. What we do is it's peer-to-peer betting. So we encourage groups of friends to set up their own contests. So let's say you and 10 of your workmates, or you and 10 of your buddies, we want you guys to set up your own pool, where the 10 of you create a pool, or you might want to enter a pool that we create, one of the big dollar prize pools we create. But effectively, you're betting with the other guys in the pool. So a scenario there would be 10 of you go in with $10 each, so that's $100 in the pool. We take a fee of 10% in that scenario, so it'll be a $90 prize. And obviously, out of the 10 of you, whoever finishes with the top score, if you're playing winner takes all, will get that 90. Or you can set it to top two or top three finishes, depending on what you want to do there as well. So it's really about mates playing mates. And if you think about it, really the money that's won circulates back through the system. So Moneyball isn't hoping that our members place ridiculous bets and we hope that they lose. We just want people to play. So win, lose or draw, as a Moneyball user, we'll be taking our small technology fee, you could call it, whereas the rest of the money remains in the system.
You said that you get your groups of mates together and have a contest together. Do you offer any other sorts of contests besides just the groups and the head-to-head sort of things?
Yeah, we do. So what we found last season for AFL, which was our first year since we started, we've got our typical user will enter anywhere between 7 and 9 contests each a weekend. So what that kind of means is we have contests on a Friday, on a Saturday, and on a Sunday. What we offer our community is a big hero contest, you could call it. So this is a guaranteed prize pool where we say, for example, there's a $10,000 guaranteed payout on that contest. So whether we get the maximum number of entrants in that contest, or whether we get, you know, even three, that is going to be the prize pool. So obviously our members are very attracted to those. And what they're also doing is, you know, entering that contest, which will have many hundreds or many thousands of players, but then they're also setting up their side bets with their group of mates. So that'll be a private contest that's only available to you as the creator and whoever it is you also invite to play.
Well, that's great, James. You're just touching on the GPPs there. Obviously, like, I'm a big fan of American sports, and I've seen some pretty big prize pools on the American sites like your DraftKings. I know Moneyball's only in its infancy, I guess you'd say. What sort of prize pools can we be playing for this season?
Yeah, so we've thought long and hard about what's going to be very attractive, and you know, it's we love the fact that DraftKings is a great example where they've come out there and they've said every weekend $1 million guaranteed payouts. Being a startup, we obviously can't go to those levels. But what we are doing for this season is every single weekend we'll be offering a $10,000 guaranteed Saturday.
So that's fantastic.
Yeah. So I'll just qualify that. That's to start with, and then as we start to grow audience, that will then become 15, which will become 20, which will become 25. So as our audience increases throughout the year through, you know, the efforts we'll put in place to try and get more and more people playing Moneyball, the higher that those jackpot Super Saturday guaranteed prize pool will become.
So it's sort of like your Taps Lotto, when you put a bit more money in and no one wins, that prize pool goes up week to week.
Exactly. You know, what we want to do is create, and I mentioned earlier, you know, I want to create that destination that people are they're coming to Moneyball because they're like, yeah, that's better, that's far better odds than any other wagering scenario I could be faced with, and it's more fun, quite frankly, as well. So, you know, we want to reward the community for growing by continuing to grow those prize pools.
Excellent. I think that wraps up all the questions I've got. Steve, you got anything else up, mate?
No, just thanks to James so much for volunteering his time.
Yeah, no worries, guys.
All right, that wraps up our interview with James Fitzgerald from Moneyball. We really appreciate him having on the show. We thank him for that. If you want to check us out on Twitter, we are at the Draft Doctors, and we're also having a bit of a competition, Steve, I believe.
Yeah, we're having, you know, one of the best parts about playing fantasy is choosing your team name, I reckon.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. So we want to put it out to the listeners. We're going to have a bit of competition to get the best team name. Okay, so just, if you want to get in this competition, just take a screen cap of your team.
Yep.
And send it on through to just tweet us.
Tweet us or hit us up on Facebook with it.
Yeah.
Or email us. We'll check it out.
Yeah. Have you got your name?
I do. It's tentative. I know you don't like it, but it's called the Muffin Stuffers.
See, I don't even get it. What is it?
You don't want to know. We are a clean show, Steve.
Yeah, we are. And that's why my team name is just a nice little friendly family happy pun, Trelaw and Order.
Oh,
there you go.
Doom, doom.
Yeah, dad jokes, people.
All right, so yeah, make sure you tweet us your...
It can't be worse than that.
No. That's the benchmark. hit us up on facebook.com/thedraftdoctors or send us an email to thedraftdoctors@gmail.com.
Don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes if you like. Yeah. The show takes 5 minutes. Really appreciate it. We're happy to read them out on the show as well.
Just like Scuds, Spud Scallops.
Spud Scallops, yeah.
Say that 10 times real fast. All right, we'll check you out. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.